You ready to save the world?
Yes.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. Please take a look at www.patreon.com/grills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-host, The Jen.
Hello, good morning.
What have you been up to, Jen?
Oh my god, so much Pathfinder D&D. So my Friday night group turned into a Pathfinder group, so making new characters is hard, especially when they have to get leveled up to level 12, like OMG. And then Pathfinder is way more confusing than Dungeons & Dragons, like D&D 5th edition has kind of spoiled me playing that recently, because holy crap was it complicated. And then I make a character and I'm like, yes, this is what I'm gonna play, and then I went, but I really just don't want to play this, I want to play something else. So then I spent hours building that character, but I'm excited. I got to play it for the first time. It was fun playing a dwarf inquisitor, and it's just super hardcore melee character, which I'm excited about because I haven't really done that.
No one expects the Inquisition.
No one expects the Dwarven Inquisition, has been what I've been saying, because I'm a big nerd. Especially because, like, I took like, a patron deity as a big old dwarf deity, and just, you know, just all Dwarven all day. It's fun. And then I've been rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender, the show, and I just hadn't really watched it in a long time, and I just really love it. I love the art in the show. It's very, like, calm. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just a nice, I guess I'm going through that phase again where I need something that's, like, not heavy. So,
and then the Fire Nation attacked.
Yeah. I mean, but it's, like, heavy but light, you know, because it is kind of a, because it's a kid's show, it has that angle where it's like, but it's okay. Everything works out.
Yeah, I think they do sort a good of. Job with the characters and doing their little coming-of-age stories. It's well done.
Well, and I really like the uncle, the Fire Nation uncle. Like, he's fucking hilarious. Like, his, like, wait, we're here for a date? You did this because you wanted a tile? Like, or, like, I just am here to get this tea that I like. And, like...
Right? Oh, I love Hero. He is my favorite character.
I love him. He's so good. So I've been doing that. And then I did go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 yesterday. And it was amazing. I loved it. It was so good. I won't spoil anything. But, oh my god, go watch it. Make sure you pay attention during the credits. Make sure that you watch until the end of the credits and just enjoy. It's good. It was really entertaining.
I was very satisfied to not be at all disappointed. I am Groot.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been up to. Obviously more painting. Obviously just more... nerd stuff, but that's pretty much been. I've been playing a bunch of Heroes too, knocked out some quests, been streaming consistently a couple days a week, which is good. So you'll catch me there, and if you see me on the Battle.net world, message me. I like to play quick match with people that aren't pugs. I got a little frustrated last time I was playing because, like, our pugs are just dumb. And I'm just, they're not dumb. It's not that they're dumb. It's that we're not coordinated because we're not communicating with each other because they're pugs. So I definitely prefer to play with friends. So, yeah.
I usually do. It was a little rough playing with Dills the other night, like, because we were all communicating when we were all drunk.
Dills was drunk and I was drunk and you were drunk.
He's like, oh my god, you're so bad. And it's like, dude, we're right here.
Yeah.
But it's okay. We're all friends. It's like, I'm sorry we're frustrating you because we're bad, but come on, it's fun.
Yeah, it was just rough because, like, when we're all drunk trying to play heroes, like, that's not really coordinated. That's like, yeah, that's like soggy coordinated.
Just not about the game.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about everything else. That's important, right? Oh, gosh.
Good fun time. Okay, so what did I do this week? Well, my mom visited, and she brought me presents, which was super awesome. I did not expect presents. I mean, Mother's Day and her birthday are coming, so I got her presents. I got her, like, these special... I had to have my Canadian in-laws ship these coins, because you can't order them unless you're Canadian, that have, like, the Stanley Cup on one side. My mom's, like, super hockey fan. So I got her presents, but she brought me... Oh, my God. Okay, she brought me a coffee mug that is, it's like a David Bowie Stardust, it says, instead of Starbucks, and it looks like the Starbucks logo, but it looks like a Ziggy Starbust or Stardust thing. And it's really cool.
Now I'm confused. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll send a picture to you.
That's amazing.
But, and the other thing, and she's like, I know you don't like Starbucks. I'm like, yes, I do. Like, I guess she assumed that because I'm just such a nonconformist or whatever. But, I mean, they responsibly source a lot of their coffee. They treat their employees well with, you know, it being sort of cooperative and, you know, whatever. I can stand it. I don't like the taste of most of their coffee and don't give a shit about all the fancy things. But I like to go there, get me some Pikes, which I know is, you know, responsibly sourced, and hang out with people and have Wi-Fi. So anyway, that, and the other thing is, oh my fucking God. Okay, it is, in London, they put out David Bowie stamps. And she gave me, like, a framed display set of the David Bowie stamps. It is super gorgeous. I have to find the best place to hang it.
That is awesome.
It is.
That's really cool.
Like, best.
Aww, good job, Mom.
Ever. Yeah. She's
That's
really
like
good at presents
winning.
And stuff. It is so fucking winning.
Aww.
And so much better than, you know, you got another tattoo. What's wrong with you? You know, so.
Aww. Yeah, I know. Like, my mom, she's so funny because, like, I have a tattoo on my foot, and I thought she just hated my tattoo because I had a tattoo in general. But then she was just like, and then I got one on my wrist, and I was like, well, she's going to hate that one too. But then she doesn't. She's just like, no, I just don't like the one on your foot. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because I just think it's a really gross place to get a tattoo.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, Mom, you're weird and judgy. That's fine. Like, it's such a weird thing to be, like, judgy about.
Yeah, everybody's got their own opinions. For all the people I've known with all the plugs and piercings and scarrings and everything else, like, lip rings kind of tweak me out. Like, ew. I don't know why.
Yeah, like, and that's fine. I just think it's funny because, like, that's how, I think it's like a mom thing. They have to just do that. Makes them feel better.
I guess. Short update on my sewage problem is the county wants a survey in order to issue the permit for my new septic lines, which is absurd and ridiculous, and I'm going to print out their own county GIS maps of my property and go argue with them because where they want to put it, my property line is on or after, like on the other side of, driveways, which they cannot build under anyway with septic lines. So asking me to pay like $900 for somebody to put some fucking chalk lines or paint lines down so that they, oh, it's bitten me in the ass before. I need to have a survey line before I can tell you where you can put your thing. No. No, because where I can put my thing is it's impossible to cross those lines. And your certified online maps I can look up on my own property show that. So, I'm going to have that fight. But I'm maybe not in such a bitchy mood because I can't swear at them. That won't work. What else? Free Comic Book Day was such a huge hit. at my local comic book shop that they had run out. I walked in and Bev was like, she's the owner. She was like, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. I couldn't. She's like, there were like 30 people at the door when we opened up and they were all gone. And there's a bunch of stuff over there now. We just like pulled other stuff from our 50 cent boxes and you could take some of that. And if you find something you like in there, dig through the 50 cent boxes and see if you can find the rest of the series. I'm like, well, I won't know until I read them, but I'll see if there's anything I want to check out. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, don't be sorry. I mean, they invest in that. In case people don't know, Free Comic Book Day, like the printers don't give the comic book stores those books. They buy them. And so that people came in and took advantage of and found stuff and hopefully continue to buy stuff from them is a huge potential boost for their business. This was a new location for this store. And she thinks it's due to that. I mean, but it's certainly been their own growth. And it makes me really happy that they are succeeding. I noticed they did have a limit. I know I mentioned that before, like some places have limits and it's, you know, stupid. They did have a limit at my local store, but it was 8, which is perfectly damn reasonable. They are an amazing comic book shop, and I'm glad to have them, and I didn't need to take free stuff from them. I will continue to patronize them, and I know for next year, because there was stuff like the Grimm one I talked about last week that I was interested to check out, and I know that if there are specific things from Free Comic Book Day, if I were to send them a message and say, you know, hey, Bev and Ryan, like, can you hold these for me? They would have. And so I should have. And maybe next year I will. Or I'll go wait in line in the morning if I know there's a line of 30 other nerds in town. That's why I bought Warcraft in person the last time I did, to try and find some people. Where are my people at? Okay, the other thing is, while Mom was here, Scott, my gay husband, and I did do, well, we were going to have our AbFab night Wednesday. The little shit got sick in between and binge watched it without me.
Oh, that's like a relationship killer.
Right? I'm like, dude, well, I'll watch it again. I'm like, But this was this was our thing.
No, okay. Like, I know you'd
seen them all before too, but this was our thing.
People,
right?
Don't get it that it's like different. Like it matters because you don't have your first reaction twice, and
or even your first, like, when you only ever saw it on your reaction. Own, and you're sharing it with somebody who you know will get it, right?
Yeah,
like getting to have that. Yeah. So, but
that drives me nuts.
He did an all right job making up for it, because what he came with was, listen, honey, I found something else, and I started to watch it, and I stopped, because I had to watch this with you. You're the only person in my whole world who would also enjoy this, and let's do this.
Aww.
So what we watched, and y'all can find it on YouTube, it's called Boldly Go. Oh my God. So what it is it's the theater department at Caltech. Who knew they had one? So there's some faculty and students in the theater department at Caltech wrote and performed a musical parody of Star Trek. Old Trek.
Awesome.
And it is hysterical and fun. And they hit every trope we ever got out of Star Trek, and some of the voices are good, and some of the acting is terrible, and the choreography is laughable. I mean, these are scientists, not theater majors, Jim. And I recommend it. It was many, many, many giggles. So for you fellow nerds, give it a go. Rob rolled his eyes. He didn't get it. I tried to make him watch a little. His hate of musicals was too strong. So, yep. Where am I? Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, American Gods.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen it yet. I got it. How have I not? I have Stars, and I'm two episodes behind now. I got to go. Got to go. Got to go. I got to watch it.
Good, good, good.
Oh, I got to watch it.
Good stuff. So now it's time for the Geek Grapevine. Jen's spill story of the week.
Yeah, yes. And it's a corny one. then now that I get the joke. So Ember found me another highway spill story because we know I love these. So this one was a semi-truck in Minnesota. It was hauling corn. And so there was just a giant, giant spill. And this one even has, like, nice visuals. So it was a corn-colored mess covering both sides of the highway. So, yeah, it didn't say how. I think it was, I don't think it said how many. I think the video said, but I can't recall how many tons of corn. But, yes. So there's your corny spill story of the week. Hooray. Huzzah.
Biggest yellow do not cross line ever.
Right?
Okay, so, not to get political, but tough shit. A new website will ship your ashes to the GOP rep of your choice if Trump care kills you. Now, yes, I know.
Oh, my God.
The House bill isn't even getting voted on the Senate. They're writing their own. Who knows how that'll go, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I know people that what has been proposed will kill them. So, I came across this, and it's got this nerdy thing. So, if you go to mailmetothegop.com, they will mail your ashes to a Republican in Congress if you die as a result of Trump care.
Oh my God.
Sign up for this in a hot minute.
Well, I am frustrated because, you know, of course, I try not to get too political on this show, but I do have to always say, you know, be vigilant, be active, reach out to your local representatives. If you're not happy with the president, you know what? That's your best recourse, is to make sure that you're letting your local representatives, and by local, I mean not just county, city, but also your state representatives, and making sure that they know how you feel about things, because, you know, and then obviously get involved in those elections, because that's what's going to help. Because, yeah, I have a condition that basically makes me uninsurable, and it's like, it's not my fault. I have a hormone imbalance, basically. I mean, it's more complicated than that, but it's considered pretty much uninsurable because it causes so many issues. And I just, when I saw that thing go through, I was terrified, because Obamacare may not be perfect, but it has meant that I have insurance, better insurance than I have ever had as an adult. So it's tough. It's a tough thing.
Yeah, one of my good friends is constantly frustrated because, I mean, he's a farmer, and this is the first time, and he gets really good rates, and that they have good insurance for all of their conditions, and he's like, they think because I'm, you know, rural and older that I can just afford whatever the hell, and this is keeping my family alive, and it's, you know, just been so good for him, but he gets assumed into a demographic that would be against it, against the ACA. So anyway, users of the website have the option of writing a custom message about how and why they died as a result of Trump care. But there are also pre-written messages like, my combat tour in Iraq, it resulted in enough disability to make me uninsurable, but not enough to get all my health care through the VA. You killed me, you prick. And because you took away my fucking insurance. So apparently the website received so many visitors that Thursday that it crashed.
That's crazy. That's a lot of traction.
Yep. Hey, man. I would totally bite on that. Yep.
So.
No way, a RuPaul story.
I know. Y'all are so surprised that I'm going to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race.
This one needs a segment, its own bumper soon.
I know. I feel like we could find a good one. There's some, RuPaul's Drag Race memes are like my favorite. So this one is really out of left field. So the article that I'm linking, if you scroll down, you can actually watch it. But SNL with Chris Pine had a RuPaul's Drag Race skit. Like, oh my God. Like, finally RuPaul's Drag Race has... I know they moved from Logo to VH1. But this is, I think, officially we can now say that Drag Race has gone mainstream. Because it showed up on SNL. And it was really funny. It was like these guys at an auto shop that was like, so I guess it's like chicks, I don't know, my girlfriend watches it. I guess it's, like, chicks that show up in drag, and da-da-da-da, he's like, and it's like, somebody else is like, well, yeah, but they're pageant queens, and they never win, and, I mean, not that I know anything about the show, and then it turns out, like, that all these guys at this auto shop know exactly all the details about the show. But what was so funny about this is they actually, like, name-dropped one of the current contestants, Trinity Taylor, who's also referred to as Trinity the Tuck Taylor, because her ability to create a feminine illusion in the crotch area is impressive.
Hey, so everybody's got to have a hobby.
So she's amazing, though. She does a really, like, her tuck is impressive, I will say. So this article that I'm linking, it does have the SNL skit at the bottom, but it also is an interview with her from Billboard about how she felt being name-dropped on the, like, on the show, whether or not she knew to expect it, and she didn't. She was just, like, somebody was... She was on Instagram Live, and somebody in the chat was like, oh my god, they just mentioned you on SNL, and she, like, couldn't find the channel to watch it, but was like, that's awesome. So it was pretty cool. But she did talk about, in the article too, about how diverse the fandom is for Drag Race. Recently, DragCon just happened. RuPaul's DragCon happened in LA, and said it was just, you know, there were straight men that were there with their girlfriends and their wives, and then there were, you know, there's lots of different types of fans that love Drag Race, and so I think that's really cool. And there's just something about, like, the openness about the, I don't want to use the term, I don't know what else other term to use, but, like, the gender fuck aspect of watching a drag show that makes me glad that it's becoming more mainstream, because, yeah, it's just, it's, again, it comes back down to Saga, right? Sexuality and gender acceptance. And I think that's one piece of the puzzle when a show like this can become more mainstream.
That makes sense to me. I mean, from a pure exposure to aspect, it's can be mind-opening for the culture to move toward understanding that gender is not black and white. Because it's just not. The science is there.
Not even biologically.
Right. I mean, the science is there, and just moving people toward, like, into what would have been uncomfortable for them will edge us toward understanding each other, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And I'm saying that again, because that's
drag
my line.
Paving the way again. Okay, so I want to thank listener Barney, and previous guest Barney, for calling my attention. Now hear this, Torchwood Series 5 is happening. So it's been like 6 years since Torchwood ended, if you're unaware.
I was going to say, like, that's been a long time.
Yeah, the Doctor Who spinoff. So Series 5 takes place after Torchwood Miracle Day, and we shall see. Let me see here. I gotta check something out. It's not gonna be on TV. It's gonna be a 12-part audio drama. Which is kind of neat for me. I was a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan so much that I used to, like, find sources and listen to the radio show when I had the radio scripts. So this seems really like a neat throwback way to do it. And with Class going on now, Class is the current Doctor Who spinoff that is airing after Doctor Who new episodes. My immediate concern when I saw this was, oh, please don't just be watering it all down. Although the universe, the Doctor Who universe, is certainly worthy of spinoffs, and some of the characters you want to hear from some more, I was worried that it was like going the way of spinoff after spinoff and be watered down. But having it in just a completely different medium feels better.
I like it. That's cool.
Okay. Today our main discussion...
Science rules.
We're going to touch on... How do we put it? Alternative remedies.
Wooji healing techniques?
Woo. Yeah. All the woo. What's woo? What's not woo? Remedies. Like, outside of maybe getting them directly from the pharmacy.
Yeah, so outside of direct Western medicine interventions to help deal with different conditions and things.
Sure. This is really complicated to, like, introduce, but...
Yeah, it is a little bit. That's okay.
Because we're not crazies. We're smart, no. Science, nerdy people.
I was going to say, we're both definitely science-oriented women that like science and like to research things. It's just like when we talked about, when I talk about my diet, I research. I don't just say, oh, this is a fad diet I want to do. I go and I read about why. So yeah, we're both science-y women, I would say.
I don't know what you made that made you try some of them crazy ones, but...
Those ones are different. The crazy diets, sure, but my current eating regimen has been the result of a lot of research into the effect of food on the hormone system and things like that. So, yeah, we're both... I would say we're both very science-y.
Yeah. So I said, Jen, watch Bill Nye Saves the World. He talked about the thing.
Oh my god, yes, which I did, and that show's amazing. Watch all of it. Don't just watch all of it. It's on Netflix. Watch it.
And this episode that he did about this stuff was, oh, what was it? Fine tune your quackometer.
Yeah.
Yes. I have to say, over the years, I'll thank Dr. Oz for helping me fine tune my quackometer. I used to think he made sense, and then he started doing these like demonstrations where he was trying to show the science behind some bullshit he was saying, and it was just so offensively not scientific method,
or wanted to make money,
wanted to show it all, that I was like, holy shit, I'm never taking anything he says anymore. He's just so full of shit, and I was disappointed and hurt, because there were things way, way, way back in the day that he would mention that I knew did work. That had some evidence. So he just, sold his freaking soul. And now when I go to the chiropractor and he's got something that's got a Dr. Oz, like, recommended thing on it, I want to, like, tell him off my chiropractor. So, that's all I can do. But I think Bill does it. He tries not to do it a disservice, but it is easy to say. Alternative medicine isn't medicine. It's an alternative to medicine in these cases that are pushed on us in advertisements all the time. Your doctor doesn't want you to know. It's all just a big conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I think what you just said, I think, deserves a second saying. One of the things that he says is that it's called alternative. It's like, what do they call alternative medicine that works? Medicine. Because, you know, that's an important thing to keep in mind, is that if it worked, it wouldn't be considered alternative medicine, it would be medicine. Now, that being said, what I think you and I utilize are things outside the realm of medicine, things that, you know, just like there's over-the-counter things, you know, that people can take for situations, you can also help affect your body and your health with what you eat in a way that's, you know, important aspect of things. And that there are some techniques and some products that can help supplement your life without necessarily being alternative medicine. I think there's like an example where, you know, my stepdad, his, well, I guess he's not really my stepdad anymore. I don't know. What do you call him when your mom's my used to be stepdad? My mom divorced
ex-stepdad.
Him. So my ex stepdad. His father died of cancer, and a lot of the stories that have come out, like just anecdotally about it, was because he tried to do some alternative shit and was like, "Oh, obviously this Western medicine pharmaceutical construct bullshit." And he ended up dying because he didn't get fucking treatment. Like, you know, there's a point where I think in the show where they're like yelling at her stomach, and I'm like, I don't know how she kept a straight face. I would have died.
There is a huge problem with people who refuse medicine for alternative claims.
And I think that's important.
So desperate and frightened and want. Mm-hmm. and end up killing themselves or children by refusing actual medicine, and that's a horror that needs to stop. That's another like danger of religious freedom legislation that people don't take into account.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I think that there are...
Are you trying to type and talk at the same time?
No, I'm trying to pull up this article at the same time. So okay. NPR did a thing that talked about placebos. And I think that that's important that we bring that into this conversation. So one of the things that's really, you know, the idea of the placebo effect, and I really feel like Bill Nye did a great job in this episode of breaking down why we do double blind studies, why, how they work. And yes, placebo effect is a thing. People can be on a placebo and have effects. Like, that is just something that has been proven. What was really interesting, and I was listening to NPR a couple weeks ago, they talked about the fact that there were people that were taking open-label placebos. So they know that they're placebos, and yet still have an effect from it. So I guess my argument is that maybe if it's not something that's unhealthy and it makes you feel good and it helps you feel better, and there's not maybe a Western medicine to specifically help with that certain situation, then use it if it's not going to hurt you.
Sure. I mean, there's a line to be drawn there, and one that makes sense, and that was also brought up in that episode by that woman. Like, yes, that can work when it's something like pain, which is a subjective experience to begin with. And so it's, of course, a direct psychological effect. We are conditioned that when you take something, it's reduced. You can be calmed down. But it's never, a placebo is never going to have any effect on cancer.
Right, because that's...
Or actual infection, right? Right,
yeah. I mean, an infection, I can't use my essential oils to make cancer go away. However, I can use my essential oils to affect my mood and help me sleep better. I can use... aromatherapy. A big part of my life has been I don't like the idea of taking sleeping pills. They're addictive. They have a lot of side effects. So I refuse to take sleeping pills, which is great because my doctors support that. They don't like me taking sleeping pills. So what I do instead is I have a blend of essential oils and I diffuse them. And that aromatherapy 100% helps me sleep. And that sounds, and I know people that think that that's crazy. But it does. It really does. And it's to the point now where if somebody else has a perfume that has lavender in it, because that's one of the major components of my blend, I will start to get a little bit sleepy because I have conditioned my body to react to that blend. That it is a little funny. If somebody has it on, I'll be like, oh, it's sleepy time.
Oh boy, you've created a conditioned response, which, you know, again, can sometimes be a healthy thing. Now, sometimes we run into an issue where, because there's not, I mean, we can barely get enough funding to do this double blind testing is expensive. Science and medicine are expensive. Getting regulation passed and getting funding for looking into things like herbal and essential oils that are used in, for, you know, medicines in different parts of the world, Eastern culture tends to use more of them than Western, is sometimes hard to get evidentially based. If you can find evidence, because, I mean, I'm a person who uses some of these things, and I do try to do the research, but it's hard to get as much hard research as you want to be able to recommend it to anyone, because a lot of times, it just doesn't exist. But I'd like to see more paths to that, and even if it's debunking, because that's great too, because you can hand it to somebody, and I have had to do it in the past, go, this doesn't work.
Well, yeah, like the magnet things, like that is such a thing. And people still will like pay, and they pay so much money. That's what always gets me, is that these businesses, they are literally ripping people off Yeah. And people, like, if your knee is hurting that bad, putting a magnet on it isn't going to make it better.
No.
You need to go and see, you know, an actual doctor. Magnets, how do they work? Right? They're magic.
Not magic.
I mean, it's just frustrating. It can get so frustrating to me that people will waste their money on things like that. When, sure, there are things that make a difference. Like, another example, I would say from the standpoint of essential oils, because I do use essential oils. I have eczema. I've had eczema for a long time. There are steroid creams I can get when I have an outbreak, and they will help clear it up right away. But again, it's a steroid cream. It has other side effects, not really a great thing for me to be using all the time. So my dermatologist says that if it works for me, then that's fine. I use a combination of Melaleuca or tea tree oil and a couple other things, and I roll that on. It makes it so that I don't itch, and then I don't have to use a steroid cream. It doesn't clear up quite as quickly as the steroid cream, but it's good enough for me. And, you know, I think that that's another example of me using an alternative to you know, a Western medicine. But again, I you know, it's balance. It's knowing what is and isn't going to work.
I have a good example, too, and it also involves Melaleuca oil, also known as tea tree, is that when I used to have a business where I sold some lotions and a spray product that were had essential oils in them. And the way it was born was that my husband had a gig in California with his band, Enter the Haggis, and he came home so sunburned. Oh, it was like past red to deep red to like almost brown again. And I was like, you're just going to peel off. And I was like, get in a shower, get in a cool shower, and I'm going to mix something up. And I had a tea tree in the house, and I had lavender in the house, and I had some aloe vera, and I mixed them all up, and I had him put it all over. And it was this huge relief. He hardly peeled. He didn't get sick as, you know, he would have with the sun poisoning he was in for. I mean, I can't even tell you. So, but I use those because, I mean, I know that the tea tree is, it's antibacterial, and so is the lavender, and lavender can be skin conditioning to help your skin heal. And these are, like, scientifically used in, you know, hospitals sometimes for that. And I was just worried about when he peeled him getting infected. And that's why I used them. But he got so much better, like, not peeling. I was like, what? I don't know. So I went and I did some more research. And I found that, I mean, you can go to, like, the Sloan Kettering Cancer Center site and find stuff on tea tree oil. Tea tree oil absorbs in the skin, and they actually use tea tree in, when cancer patients get radiation therapy, a lot of times some doctors will use tea tree oil because it does seep in, and it helps with the deep burn instead of just the surface, because, you know, you are using radiation treatment to relieve the skin and prevent blistering in those instances. So I was like, yeah. Well, even better. So, I mean, I created a product. I use a lotion base, an aloe vera juice instead. And I have, I don't have that business anymore, but I do have people like family and friends who request it and buy it from me for years and years now, because, I mean, it works. And these are things that there is evidence base. I'm not just a crazy hippie person.
No, 100%, that's definitely true. And, you know, it's one of those things where, again, like you said, it's doing that research. I mean, essential oils are essentially, they're highly concentrated plant oils. So what you're doing is you're getting the essence of that plant. And plants are involved in medicine. So it's not that surprising that essential oils can have that. I mean, Melaleuca is an antifungal. So it has a lot of different properties there. But again, it comes back down to, you know, I used peppermint and eucalyptus and a couple other things when I'm getting a cold to help clear my sinuses. Again, I put a little bit below my nose just to help clear things out, kind of like a cough drop. But then, like I did
menthol,
a month and a
half. Right?
Exactly.
That's not crazy.
Exactly. However, you know, I'll give the example of about a month ago. I was doing that and getting everything cleared up, but then when I had a lot of pain in my ears, I said, okay, I need to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor, and turned out I had a double ear infection. I got antibiotics. I didn't just go, oh no, I'm just going to keep doing this and I'm going to pour some crap into my ears. And, you know, it's that balance of recognizing what is and isn't a reasonable treatment, you know. And I think that there are times where we do become, especially in Western medicine, we just go to the doctor and get a pill. You know, go to the doctor, get a pill. You need a pill for this, you need a pill for that, you need a pill for everything. And there are side effects to some of these medications. So it is one of those things where you have to recognize what, when you really truly need a medication or a medical intervention, or if there is something that, you know what, if it helps, then use it. And again, well, there's a lot of research.
There's also the danger of, because of it not being regulated or priority to regulate alternative things, and there's a push against it because people are like, oh, then it'll cost more. Well, you know, you're sometimes going to buy these supplements and they're not even the same thing that's in the jar because it wasn't regulated, or, you know, that it's you don't know
how many diet pills had something that would literally kill people.
Yeah. And dosage becomes very difficult. I mean, when I was even mixing my lotions, I ended up sourcing from a place in Canada where I could check, you know, their sources and their process and get actual, you know, they had actually published data on the, you know, per milliliter concentration, which, you know, you gotta know, because you can OD on just about anything and end up doing damage where you were trying to heal. Another thing is in psychoactives and having some of those unregulated and asthma medications. I mean, I loved being able to get Breathe Easy Tea that had ephedra in it because it worked. But people are abusing over-the-counter ephedrine as speed, and now you can't get it anymore, and I can't use that tea, you know, for my asthma. Once I was trying to use St. John's wort, which is proven effective in many trials for depression. However, because it doesn't have actual regulation and a ton of double-blind studies, and I mean, well, they just don't have to regulate it, I wasn't taking it under doctor supervision. And so, yeah, it was doing great for my depression. I was feeling on a good level. And then I had an anxiety attack. And it was the most physically affecting anxiety attack I ever in my life. My heart was pounding so hard. And I had experienced anxiety before. But just like with others, sometimes an antidepressant will make anxiety worse. It created a physical effect that was so strong, and I was unprepared for it because I didn't have that list of possible side effects when I irresponsibly did that self-treatment. I was also real poor, and I couldn't go to a doctor, and, you know, Medicaid didn't cover going to a shrink, so I was doing the best I could. But I warn people now, like, don't try that without having a backup. And if you have anxiety, sometimes don't. And we shouldn't have to learn that the hard way. I mean, there should be more good science out there about these alternatives. And if it takes regulating them, I'm fine with that.
I wish it wasn't so expensive, though, because it does feel like the companies that can just push through, you know, there's like a lot of shadiness there where companies can just push through medications, or that, like, an example, and something that really bothers me is that unless the medication is going to be used exclusively on women, it doesn't have to be tested on women. And a lot of companies avoid testing medications on women because the menstrual cycle and other hormonal things can cause challenges. Yeah, we want to know about those, assholes. Like that's right? Kind of important. But
and there's a whole barrier. This barrier and feeding that paranoia of your doctor doesn't want you to know is fed by not going ahead and finding a way to do the science on these things. It lets people give claim to magical remedies that don't work, or you don't have a reliable source for, even if they'll work a little, and people turn to them in desperation. information because the science isn't there in too many cases.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, that I just want to mention, you know, something that I do feel like there are some disclaimers, warnings type things I feel responsible that if people are going to listen to this, if you are using alternative treatments or alternative whatever, you're doing something, you're taking a supplement, tell your doctor. It's not that your doctor doesn't want you to know. It's that your doctor needs to know, you know, because your doctor there are things that can have interactions.
You might be surprised at a very positive reaction from some doctors.
Yeah, you know what? I have doctors all the time that, you know, tell me, you know what, if we can, my primary care doctor loves that I do aromatherapy to help with my insomnia rather than taking a sleeping medication. And it has really made a big difference. So the first time in my life, I don't have consistent insomnia because I have tools to deal with that, and to manage it. And surprisingly, you know, very positive. I mean, one of her focuses is, you know, I have a lot of back pain and a lot of other, you know, physical ailments. I have a knee that gets real hurt because I did a stress injury to it several years ago. But she doesn't want to medicate me with painkillers. So we do different stretches and she recommends different things. And again, like you said, very positive. A lot of doctors, that whole like, oh, what your doctor doesn't want to know, they still, they do want you to know if there's something that works, you know? They're not trying to keep it from you to get you to come in and see them. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, there's that mindset of, oh, big pharma and big this and all that. But, you know, the reality is that there's a few really shitty companies out there, pharmaceutical companies that are just all about the bottom line. But a lot of pharmaceutical companies are legitimately trying to create medications to help and are doing things the right way. And so having that negative reaction to pharmaceuticals is not necessarily, it's just ill-placed. They are doing good work. I mean, there's medications out there that do help and have gone. I don't want it to sound like, you know, it's all bad all the time. And I feel like that's what a lot of people feel.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And that guy, okay, I
got a weird warning that I was offline. I was like, no, not now.
No, you're here. You're okay. Totally online.
So yeah, there's, let me see. Your doctor is your friend. They've taken an oath to do no harm. Keep that in mind. I think that's important to mention.
Definitely. And they didn't become a doctor because they want to fucking kill people. They didn't become a doctor because they just want to, like, you know, rape people's bank accounts. They became a doctor because they care about healing and helping with health. I love my doctor. She's amazing. I have a very good relationship with my doctor. Now, I haven't always had great doctors. I've had some doctors that are like, you know, when I go to them and I say, hey, look, I'm having a problem. And they're like, oh, well, you're overweight. So, of course, you're having that problem. I'm like, no.
Oof.
Like, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
And they have this mindset that I'm just at home eating jars of frosting, you know, like, oh, nom, nom, nom. It's like, no, I eat a reasonable meal. Like, people that spend time with me are like, have actually said, like, I'm so surprised, like, you eat better than I do. And it's like, yeah, and I weigh like 200 pounds more than you. Woohoo! Like, it's just, yeah. I have other factors in my life, but it's one of those things where if it's not the right doctor for you, find a different doctor. But don't assume that they're out there to get you. You need to trust their opinion. They are educated. And that also doesn't mean that there isn't some value in some of the wooey stuff out there. It's just, be smart about it. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. There's no magic pill, no magic thing that's gonna, you know, make everything better and help you lose 100 pounds. You know, the only thing that's gonna help you lose 100 pounds is intervening if you have like hormone issues or things like that. It's, you know, counteracting those and then eating right and exercise. Like, that's the math.
It took me a couple tries to find a doctor that listens to me all the way through what I am trying to say, that doesn't laugh at me when I bring up some kind of remedy, and that I communicate well with. And I am very, very glad I did. I mean, he will print out and show me and talk to me about all my blood results. And it is a great relief to have in my life. I feel like I can ask for a test when I feel like I need it without them going, you don't need that. Because that's very, being discounted like that isn't a healthy relationship with your doctor that I would warn against. Now, there's something I want to bring up quick. My son called and was talking to me about the other day, which I thought was really amazing. And I wish I had had him send me the article. If any of you out there hear, read this, please send it to us at geekgrills@gmail.com. But apparently there's a very recent thing that came up where they have found in research validation of anxiety and heart health, where evidence of like people actually dying of a broken heart, but relating the actual neural connections and how women are more susceptible to this because of like physically, biologically, where the center in our brain where we process certain, where we process anxiety being having a proximity to the nerves that regulate our heartbeat and that kind of stuff. And so that was like, he's very prone to go, yeah, that's woo. If you're having, I'm trying to explain in the past, like how psychosomatic illness works, because it is actually illness, right? But it's been triggered by a psychological reaction. And so he was just fascinated and, you know, very interested in this science that apparently just emerged. So if you find it, let me know. And if I find it, I'll get it in the links.
Awesome.
And it validated me.
I like it.
Because I got a story from some years ago where I unexpectedly saw in the street someone I did not think was in that town that I had suffered great loss of in my life. And I actually had a pain in my chest and in my arm, and I had to pull over. And fortunately, I had my companion was a nurse. And then I was back in order in a few minutes, went on my way. And I was like, did I seriously just have a fucking heart attack? Like, isn't that just an expression? Like, oh my God, I was so shocked to see that person. They gave me a heart attack. Like, I think that actually happened to me. And now, I don't know, a good 10 years later, look, science. I'm not just crazy. So on we go.
Yeah, we're not crazy.
And I'm going to take a dose of this Melomints today. I don't care what anybody says. It's got cramp bark, blue cohosh, white willow, skullcap, and motherwort in it. And it helps me chill the fuck out.
Yep. And sometimes when I'm really stressed, I have citrus blends of essential oils, and I slather that on, and it helps me. Again, it's aromatherapy. It helps me just chill out a little bit.
Well, if my neck hurts again later, I'm going to put on that stick I bought from you from your Perfectly Posh that has the cayenne in it.
Yeah, peppers. Hot peppers, hot peppers, man. And that has, and it does help. I mean, it opens up. There is science behind why hot peppers can help with pain.
And mentholatum. That's in like every muscle cream you ever buy.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? That's the thing. It's that just being smart about what you're looking at and using the stuff that works, and also tell your doctor. That way you're not mixing things that are going to kill you. That's all.
Yeah. Don't fall for anything that, you know, is just ancient wisdom that your doctor is keeping you from finding. Listen to Bill. He's trying to save us all.
Yeah.
So what are you most anticipating right now, Jen?
So I'm going to be trying out some new painting techniques. So I've got some washes and some other stuff that it's just going to try to kind of step up my painting game a little bit now that I've been getting back into the mode of painting my minis. And I'm also going to be basing my models this week. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to be taking a hammer to some rocks to make some little rock pieces, and then static grass, you know, doing all that stuff to make my models just have that last little thing so that they look really nice. So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, that's pretty much my focus right now.
I think you might be taking this dwarf stuff way too seriously when you have to smash rocks.
I know, right? I gotta take a hammer to some rocks!
Well, I guess I'm looking forward to Mother's Day. One can hope. I found out that Secret Hitler, the game, has a print-and-play version that I'll be reviewing that on Part-Time Gamer soon, so I'm gonna actually get to play, because it's always taken, at my son's tabletop club when I visit, because it's all the rage right now in college. So I'm really looking forward to making my family play that. Maybe that'll be Mother's Day. I'll make me and my kids and my husband play Secret Hitler with me. Is that weird?
No, that's not weird at all. That's fantastic.
So tell us about our new patron, our Patronus.
Yeah, so us, yes, indeed. So as, remember, we are 100% solely supported by you, our lovely patrons, and you can become a patron at patreon.com/grills. So please do that. Our newest patron is Hannibal. You may remember him from a past episode. We thank him for all of his love and support, and you can check out his amazing work at gomagicboy.com. He is awesome. And don't forget to, when you become a patron, we do send you a game code. And we have a list of those on our website at geekgirls.com. But yeah, become a patron. Support us. We love it. We need it. We want to make this show continue to be self-sustaining so we don't have to do ad reads. Please help us by supporting us.
Also, you can support us for absolutely free. Just take a minute, go over to iTunes, leave a review, throw a star at us. It really helps others find us and enjoy our show. So, Jen, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
So you can follow me on Twitter at TheJenSays and streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. I am working towards getting the affiliate status so that I can accept bits. So help me. I need the follows and the views. So if you see me, twitch.tv/TheJenPlays.
And I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
GG.
If you enjoyed the show and have a quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.